Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of 2 Corinthians. Book of 2 Corinthians. It's a joy to be here. I guess this is sort of a size up service. Size me up, see if you want to come back over here again and hear me. Of course, that's a two-way street. Size you up, see if it'd be worth me to even come back over here. And preach to you. I told the preacher tonight, this is a red letter year for me. I've been saved for 50 years this year. I've been married for 48 and I've been preaching for 47. I usually preach somewhere about 250 nights a year, so this is not my first time at the rodeo. I know when I'm done, when my notes are ended. So, don't worry about me. I'll try to help you if I can. I hope you've brought a Bible with you. It's extremely hard to study a Bible if you don't have one. So I hope you'll bring a Bible with you. We want to begin tonight in the book of 2 Corinthians. It's in my heart in these five services to preach on the subject of life lessons from the Lord. Life lessons from the Lord. I asked a young girl the other day, she is going to be a senior in high school this year. And I asked her, I said, if you were to go to sleep one night, dream, it almost seem real to you, that you had been placed in a world where you would go to school for the rest of your life, what would you do? I love her answer. She said, I'd go crazy. I told her, I said, well, never hook up with Jesus. Because if you've ever been born again, He has enrolled you in a lifetime school. His lessons are never over. The only way you can graduate is to die. You'll never take one of His lessons and say, well, I'm glad that one's behind me. I'm glad that's over. I didn't do too good. I got a D in it, but I'm glad it's behind me. You'll never say that about one of His lessons. They're continually taught over and over and over again. I want to, in these five services, look at five of those lessons from the Bible. Tonight, I want to look at the life lesson of trusting in God. Trusting. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, preacher, I'm saved. I'm glad I got that trusting over with. Oh, honey, as my grandma used to tell me, you ain't seen A yet. This trusting school will never be over. He'll be asking you to trust Him as long as you have breath in your body. And the devil will be trying to get you to give up your trust in Him. The life lesson of trusting in God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Trust can be placed again in the text. It would not do any injustice to it. But trust in God, which raiseth the dead. I was interested in the little word trust. It's a very interesting little Greek word there. It means to put one's total confidence in another. The little word literally is carefree living. Carefree living. It means to hide oneself in another. I love this little definition of this Greek word. To place all... I did not know if you'd get that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. All of the weight upon another. All of the weight upon another. You take the communion table down here in front of us. If you was to trust it like you would trust God, some of you would lean on it and say, I'm leaning on Jesus. I tell you what, you're fixing to fall flat on your face. Some of you would even go as far as to sit on it. Oh, I'm sitting in Jesus. You're looking for a collapse. The only way you can put your trust in God would be to stretch yourself totally out upon this communion table and let it hold your entire weight up. It's called trusting in God. I fear many of us are like the old boy who was afraid to fly. None of you are afraid to fly, are you? A little hesitant about getting in an airplane. He was extremely petrified to fly. He had some family members on the West Coast to pass away. He needed to go to the funeral. The only way to get there in adequate time, oh yeah, he'd have to fly. He did. He returned. Some of his friends asked him, so how did you do? He said, did fine. So how is your fear of flying? How in this world did you get over it? He said, I never did rest all my weight on that seat. So it is with some of you. You really and truly think that you're carrying this thing. Hey, just in case you are a little fearful about flying, I read this statistic the other day. The earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour on its axis. The earth moves at 66,000 miles per hour around the sun. The solar system moves at 515,000 miles an hour around the galactic core. The Milky Way, that's the little universe of which we live in. The Milky Way is hurtling toward a collision with the Andromeda galaxy at a mind-numbing 1.2 million miles an hour. So if you're extremely afraid to fly in an airplane, let me get you in on a little secret. Fear not! You're already flying! And I notice none of you have your seats buckled. Are you listening to me tonight? This idea of trusting in God. In our text that is before us, we're confronted with the commencement of trusting. He says in our text, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. I was thinking tonight, death before trusting. If you're saved tonight, and I can't tell because I can't see your heart. Have you ever given any thought as to what kind of condition you were in before you trusted God? Paul says here in our text, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Matter of fact, just for a second, I'll not take long to do it. If you've got the Bible there, a few pages over to your right. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. Paul says, prior to you trusting in God, he said you were dead. That little word dead there in Ephesians 2, 1 is the little word corpse. I used to have a deacon years ago. I pastored him for 18 years, and he hadn't earned a doctor's degree from Bob Jones University. I would have thought he was smarter than what he was. He called me in one day to his office, and he says, I'm really having some problems with some things you're preaching. I said, sure enough, I thought it was some deep doctrinal issue. He said, I don't think man's dead as you preach it. I said, sure enough. I said, how dead do you think he is? He said, well, I believe man's got the ability to come to God on his own. I said, you ever studied Ephesians 2:1? He said, I don't know that I ever have. I said, the little word dead in Ephesians 2:1 is a little Greek word for corpse. I said, how dead is a corpse? Are you listening to me tonight? You ever gone down to the funeral home meets you at the door and say, Bubba here in the front room, he's half dead. Lula Smith, she's in the middle door. She's three quarters dead. Mr. Jones, he's in the back room. He's all dead. So God says, when I found you, I don't know if you've ever tried this or not. Maybe if you get a chance, go down to the funeral home and see if you can get one of them to trust you. Apart from God ever putting trust in you. This may upset some of you. You wasn't born with the trust gene. Matter of fact, he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God. God is the one who must give you the ability to trust Him. So, if you have trusted Him, that means that He raised you from the dead and gave you the ability to trust Him. I don't know about you. If that has happened to you, it ought not to do this to you. It ought to make you. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about trusting. It's a life. Oh, I'm glad I got that behind me and it's over with. It just began. It's a life lesson. Trusting in God. Back in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, not only is there death before trusting, but there is deliverance because of trust. Preacher, suppose I was to get all fuzzy-wuzzy tonight and have a real religious experience and just cast all my weight upon God. What am I going to get out of it? Well, you be the judge. Notice what Paul says we get out of it in verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death. Paul tells us here that we have been delivered. Did not know if you'd see the ED or not. It's past tense. This is an act that has been done in the past that guarantees something will be done in the present. The little word deliver here means to snatch or to rescue. It has the idea of delivering me from the penalty of sin tonight. When Christ died on the cross tonight, He took all of my sin, past, present, and future. He took them away. Y'all probably had never seen nobody like this down in Arkansas. Here is a fella tonight that ain't going to hell when he dies. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I heard of an old mountain preacher the other day. He was preaching in the Sunday morning service at his church. He was preaching on 10 reasons why he knew he wasn't going to hell when he died. He said they never got past the first point to shout the house down. His first point was, because I ain't a-headed that way. I love the hound out of that. I'm not a-going to hell tonight because Jesus died for my sins and I'm not headed. How do you know that, preacher? Because I'm resting all of my weight upon Him. Trusting in Him. There is the delivered from the penalty of sin. Oh, but it's bigger than that. He says in verse number 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us. Present tense. Not only have I been delivered from the penalty of sin, I am being delivered from the power of sin. Oh, the more I trust Him, the more I rest all of my weight on Him, He begins to allow me to walk in victory in my practice. And I begin to be more like Him. But oh, it's bigger than that. I notice in verse number 10, He says, in whom we trust that He will. What? You mean to tell me there's more to this deliverance? Yes, it is. Not only did He deliver me from the penalty of the sin, the power of sin, but He's one day going to deliver me from the presence of sin. Can you imagine going, so, hey, you men, you ought to identify. You ought to say hallelujah on this point. Can you imagine going somewhere where you won't ever think dirty again? Wow. Bring it on tonight. A place where sin shall be no more. Hallelujah, what a place that will be. He has promised. He promised that to everybody, God forbid. The only people that will experience that is those who have rested all of their weight upon Him. I'm talking about dead before trust, delivered because of trust. Could I mention this on this commencement? This is just the beginning. Man, I'm glad I got that trust and stuff behind me. I didn't do too good in preacher. Got a D-, but I did pass. Oh, hon, you don't get no grades in these courses. These are life lessons. They're forever. If you've hooked up with Him, boy, I'll tell you, I'm saved, preacher. Well, you're in school forever. Till you die, it's the only way to get out. Some of you don't like, I tell you, preacher, I don't like to read. You won't do good in God's school. Huh? Are you listening to me? You just weld a can it right now. God's ever saved you, put read in you. I like that, don't you? Not only is there the dead before trust, delivered because of trust, but there is a death birthed because of trust. You ever heard this preached? I heard it preached all my life. God won't put no more on you than you can bear. You don't believe that, do you? I tell you what, if you believe that tonight, you ain't gone very far with God. You listening to me? I hear them all say, yeah, God won't put no more on you than you can bear. Where in the world do they get that from? Well, they get it from Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians. He says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, that with the temptation He shall also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's where they get it. He won't put no more on you than bear. Small problem. He speaks of temptation there. A solicitation to do evil. He says, I'll not allow Satan to tempt you above that you're able to bear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8, the depth, birth in trusting. Paul here speaks of trouble, heartaches, difficulty. Watch the text. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Totally different word from temptation. Heartaches, difficulties, sadness. Which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. What? Paul said, God put so much on me, it flattened me. Hey, we ain't talking about some redneck from Arkansas or Georgia. We're talking about the fair-haired boy here. Wrote over half the New Testament. God said, He put so much on me, it flattened me. Watch the text. He says, above strength. He said, He put so much on me, I couldn't carry it. Wow. Man, if He'd do that to Paul, pray tell, what would He do to one of us? Huh? You listen to me tonight. I'm talking about trusting. He says in verse number 8, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He said, He put so much on me, I wished I was dead. Paul, what in the world God do that for you for? Answer to your question in verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust. Why in the world is God going to put more on you than you can bear? So you won't trust your stinking self. You'll rest all of your weight. See, as long as you ain't got to worry about me. I'm an old boy from Arkansas, preacher. We're tough around here. We can make it. Hey, how's that working out for you? The more He puts a load on you, the more He puts a load on you. You better learn somewhere along the line to rest all of your weight upon Him. The commencement of trusting. If you have the Bible there tonight, Proverbs chapter number 3. Can we go a little further in this? It's a life lesson. Oh boy, preacher, I'm glad I got that trusting deal behind me. We can go on to it. We can take a new course now. Oh no, hon. Just like you began, resting all your weight upon Him in order to get saved, He will demand it. He will demand it till the day you die. Notice not only the commencement by trusting, but notice the continuance in trusting. He says in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Continuance in trusting. Trusting deals never over. I've been saved for 50 years and almost daily, if not several times a day, I'll feel that little nudge from Him. Tom, you ain't got all your weight on me. You trying to carry some of this yourself. You better stop it. It ain't going to work out well for you. Are you listening to me tonight? I notice in this text that Solomon places before us, we find the where of this trust. Where am I to put my trust? He says in verse number 5, trust in the Republican Party. Doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. Trust in the independent back. No, it doesn't say that. Trust in the Lord. I thought it was interesting, the little word Lord in our English standard version of the Bible. Lord is in all caps. I don't know if it's like that in your Bible or not. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's the little word Yahweh. It's the little word Jehovah. Or the word I am. He is not a God who was. He is not a God who shall be. But He is a God a zillion, million, trillion years from now. He'll still be a God that is. I don't know if that might not mean much to you. But I'm a guy, I was in the 10th grade 3 times. Took 0 on all oral book reports. I love people, I just don't know if I like them yet or not. And one of the reasons why I kept flunking was English. I just could not get the conjugation of verbs right. It just messed me all up. I was glad when I met Jesus, you ain't got to conjugate Him. Just leave Him in the present tense. That's where He likes to stay. I love the hound. Let's stop right there and shout. Some of you ain't ever never said amen. Huh? Where am I to put my trust? The one who is. Isn't that what the writer of Hebrews says? Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe what? That He is. Present tense. Resting all of your weight. The where of this trust. But I noticed the with. What am I to trust Him with? He says, trust in the Lord with. There's the big word. All thine heart. You mean to tell me, preacher, does He want that thing that's thumping inside of me? Gracious, no. Most of us need open heart surgery right now. We just don't even know it. You don't want that thing that's thumping inside of you. All your heart. The writer of the poetic book says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I'm going to give Him my all of my heart, I must give Him all my thoughts. Wow. I was wondering, have you ever given Him all your thoughts? You wouldn't be crazy enough to be sitting here in this service tonight wishing that I'd hurry up and get done so you could leave, do you? That'd be crazy to sit in His house and you have one of them thoughts and not give it to Him. He'll have to smack you in the middle of the week looking both ways for Sunday. All my thoughts. He says in John, let not your heart be troubled. Not only would I need to give Him all of my thoughts, I must give Him all my feelings. Gracious, there's some of you in this building, you have all kind of feelings. One day you're, woo, ain't God good. Next day, praise me on how I'm going to make it. Up, down. He must have them all. You listening to me? Trust. It's a continual. You can see already why it's a life lesson. You never get it over with. He also says in the Gospels, as a man purposeth in his heart, I must give him all of my plans. Can you imagine what would happen in this building tonight if every young person in this building tonight would give him all of their plans? We would have a revival. It may be that some of you, God would want you to do something that you have not yet planned. I love that, don't you? The where of the trust. But I notice in the text, we're talking about continuance now. It's a life lesson. Oh, I tell you, hey preacher, about 3 weeks ago I trusted him. I'm glad I got that behind me. It's over with. No. It's continual. Life lesson. Not only the where and the with, but the how of the trust. You know, sometimes if somebody's going to tell me how to do something, oftentimes if they'll tell me how not to do it, it really helps me to know how to do it. He tells us in this text how not to do it. It's really been alarming to me, because I don't doubt many of you have learned well the how not. And you really think while you're doing the how not, that you're doing the how to. It's very confusing. Satan can really baffle you about it. Notice the how not. He says in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. The little word understanding is the little word for what one feels or thinks. Well, I hear Baptists all the time, well, bless God, let me tell you what I think about it. Who cares? Give a flip less. I raised 3 boys, and they's all the time thinking something. Never listened to them at all. Lean not. The little word lean means to bend towards. He says, don't lean towards how you think. The little word understanding is one's feeling. I say, preacher, I'm going to tell you just how I feel about that. I tell you, somebody tells you that you ought to duck. They're fixing to puke up their Adamic nature all over you. Who cares how you feel? I'm interested to know what God thinks, what God feels. I must constantly, in this trust issue, keep bending myself back towards what he thinks, don't bend over there what you think and how you feel. I tell you, young people, get yourself in more sin living on what you think and what you feel. Lean towards what he thinks, what he feels. The how of this trusting. He tells us the how not. But then he tells us the how to. Oh, don't miss it. He says in verse number 6, in all, he's eat up with that all stuff, isn't he? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That little word acknowledge means to consider him, to lay it before him, to check with him, ask him what he thinks about it. Lay it before him. All my ways. I'm telling you tonight, he is interested in us laying everything before him, from $100,000 home we're going to buy to a parking space at Walmart. You say, you mean to tell me you pray about parking spots at Walmart? Yeah, I like to park close up to the door. How's that working out for you? Hello. I was parked the other day walking in and some gal come running out. You could tell she was a University of Georgia student. She come running out of Walmart, jumped in her car and ran off. She was parked right at the door and I said to myself, God told you 10 minutes ago to leave here so I could park there. You say you're crazy. Don't pinch me and wake me up. I want to acknowledge Him in all my ways. You say that's crazy. He told me He likes it. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the how to. You say, well, what in the world, what good is that going to do me, acknowledging Him in everything I do? Watch the text. Notice verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He, talking about God, shall direct thy paths. I was interested in that word direct. It means to make a path clear, to take a crooked path and make it straight. It has the idea of placing one on a prosperous, plain road. Tell you, if you'll acknowledge Him in all your ways, you won't get down the road and say, oh, I wish I'd have never done that. You won't wake up one day and have 2 or 3 marriages under your belt wondering why did it happen. You won't go and get a degree in something that you don't like. Oh, no. Acknowledging Him in all your ways. He says, when you do, He says, I'll lead you in a plain and prosperous path. Could I conclude tonight back in the New Testament? There is a commencement of trusting. You have the Bible there, Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. There's a continuance to trusting. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know if you've enrolled with Jesus. I'll tell you one thing, preacher. I'm saved. I know I'm on the way to heaven. Well, I tell you what, you're in the trusting school. How you doing? I wonder if He's confronting you today about trusting Him about an issue. Are you listening to Him? Well, I don't know if He's ever said anything to me about trusting. Make yourself a note. You don't belong to Him. And hell will be my home when this is over. Because if He's ever saved you, it's a continual lesson. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Notice not only there is a commencement, there is a continuance. But in Mark chapter number 5, there is a conclusion to trusting. Somebody asked old B.B. Caldwell, the great preacher, grace preacher of yesterday. Somebody asked old Caldwell one day, said, Brother Caldwell, you reckon the devil will ever let up all from us in this life and just give us a break? Old Caldwell said, he said, the devil will leave the frothy foam of his hot breath on the doorknob to heaven as you're going through to Zion's hill trying to get you not to trust God one more time. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the conclusions to trusting. In our text in Mark chapter number 5, there is a conclusion in a death hour. This is the story that is mentioned, verse 22 tells us, of Jairus' daughter who was sick. He has gone to the Lord and asked the Lord if He would come to his house. His daughter is sick. En route there, they meet an old gal that is low crawling on the ground to touch the hem of the Lord's garment to be healed. The Bible says that she has had an issue of blood for 12 years. Says that she has sought all the doctors. She spent everything she's got, and she's none the better. I love this little part of it, though. The Scripture says, and she told him all. I don't know how you feel about it. I would think If you got around a lady who has been sick for 12 years, she has spent every dime she's got at the doctors and she's none the better. If she's going to tell it all to you, it ain't going to be a short story. It's going to be a long story. Jairus needs him to come to the house right now. She's going on and on and on and on. I can almost hear Jairus. We got to go. She finally gets done with her long story. They head for the house. They come from the house in verse 35, and while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead." Boy, that clears the air. That has an element of finality to it. This is a death hour. She's dead. Don't trouble him anymore. Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid." Our little English version said, "Only believe." That can be translated, "Jairus, just trust me. Just trust me." Are you listening to me tonight? Just trust Him. One of the greatest trials that God ever sends the way of His people is to send them a fiery trial. Assure them that He can take care of it and tell you, "Just trust me." And then do absolutely nothing about it. I wonder tonight, would you trust Him even when you see absolutely no evidence that He has done anything? And the only hope that you have is He could if He wanted to. Oh, tonight, nothing can befall me tonight without His permission, His appointment, and His administration tonight. Just trust Him. The old songwriter said it best when he said, "Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him if you get a chance." Oh, it's not what the songwriter said. He said, "Only trust Him now." Death hour. Could I notice, if you have the Bible there tonight, 2 Timothy, and I'll close there. 2 Timothy. Not only in a death hour tonight, but He would call upon us to trust Him in a dark hour. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. These Paul's closing days. This is the fair-haired boy. This one, God said, He put more on him than he could bear. Pressed him down. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." It's coming down to the end. Verse number 16, he says, "At my first answer." The little phrase "answer" there is a little word for the reading of a judgment and a sentence. The Roman soldier has brought the edict out. It's the first time it's being read. "Paul, you shall in the morning have your head severed from your body because of preaching this man Jesus." He says in our text, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Oh, what a dark hour. "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Hey, ain't no Luke here. Ain't no Mark here. There's no Barnabas here. "Hey, Paul, what you going to do now?" "I think I'll trust Him. Rest all of my weight upon Him." Watch the text. Nobody's there. Nobody's standing with Him. Verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." I was interested in that little word, strengthened. The little word is a light, cool breeze on a hot summer's day. What? A light, cool breeze on a hot summer day. I am told in the Scriptures that the Holy Ghost is the wind. Paul has heard the sentence read. I can't help but believe he probably looked around to see if somebody left a window open. Somebody left a door open. He said, man. Man, I felt a shiver go through it. Oh, what was it? It was a good Holy Ghost telling Paul, Paul, I'm here. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to take you through this. Just trust me. Trust me in a death hour. Trust me in a dark hour. I love what the songwriter said about it. He says, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way, the life. Ye into rest, believe in Him without delay. And you are fully blessed. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Life lessons from the Lord. One of the great lessons is to trust in the Lord. I wonder tonight in this building, you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I have put my faith and trust in the Lord. But oh, in my daily walk with Him, there are areas where I'm trying to carry it myself. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you would realize, even in your foolishness tonight of thinking you could carry it yourself, He is carrying you through it all. Maybe you just want to bow somewhere this night before it's over and just simply trust Him. Brother Price, I don't know what you had planned for the invitation, but if it's possible, could we sing a verse or two of 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus? I love what that chorus says in that song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust Him. The songwriter says, I've proved Him o'er and o'er. I wonder if you've proved Him today that He's trustworthy. You can put your trust in Him. Brother Price is going to come and lead us in a verse or two of that old song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Would you stand with us tonight? I don't know what your custom is tonight. I've never been here before. I surely don't want to step over my bounds tonight. But if there's issues in your life where God is dealing with you about just trusting Him, maybe it's a dark hour. Just trust Him. It's a death hour. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I do not. But I know He demands us trust Him. Maybe you have always thought He won't put any more on me we can bear. But I've seen from the Scriptures and I preach that He's going to flatten me. And He's doing it. What does He want out of me? I want you to trust Him. Just trust Him. I don't know. You might want to bury your head in this altar tonight and just trust Him. He'll lead us in a verse or two of this song. And when He's done, preacher will come and close us as He sees fit tonight.